Welcome to The Roofer Show with your host, Dave Sullivan. You found the podcast that helps roofing contractors grow their businesses, make more money, and have more free time. Each week, Dave interviews the industry's top experts who will give you actionable tips and strategies for the real world of construction to help you take your roofing business to the next level. So let's get down to business.
Hey, everybody. Welcome to The Roofer Show, the place to be if you want to grow a more profitable roofing business. I'm your host, Dave Sullivan, and I've been a successful roofing contractor for over 30 years, and I'm here to share with you what I've learned. You can check out my website at theroofershow.com and sign up to get updates for the shows coming up and some great tips to improve your business. Today, I want to talk a little about this crazy weather we've got going lately. We've got hurricanes, and now here in California, we just lost 8,000 structures to wildfires. And I know here we can't find the labor to do the work that we've already got on the books, and now we've got all this additional work coming through. I don't know what's going to happen here. So my recommendation is keep your backlog low and keep your prices high, because there's going to be a lot of people that need to have work done. And they just have to get it done, and they're going to say, I don't care what the price is. I just got to do it. Now, as I'm looking at all this, my ADD is kicking in, and I start reading about roofing contractors where their business is chasing hail and windstorms. I realize I don't know a thing about this stuff when it comes to storm restoration business. So I had no idea how big this business was. So since this show is all about learning, keeping up on the latest, and especially for myself, I reached out to one of my LinkedIn connections to give me a little lesson on what's going on in the storm restoration business. So today I've got Reggie Brock on the show. He's going to give me that lesson. And Reggie has been in the insurance business for 23 years. He's been a roofing contractor in Texas for 7 years. And for the last 2.5 years, he's been the director in a managed repair program, which is roofing specific. And he tells me that there's a beginning of a shift going on in the industry to managed repair programs, which makes sense to me because insurance companies are always looking for ways to cut costs and also screw over contractors. Whether you're familiar or in this business, or whether you're like me, you're a novice, we're going to get a lesson from Reggie on what's going on and learn a little about what managed repair programs are all about and whether they're a thing of the future. So let's get into the interview with Reggie Brock. Hey, Reggie, thanks for coming on to the show today.
Hey, Dave, thanks for having me. It's a pleasure to be here.
As I mentioned in the intro, we connected over LinkedIn here a while back, and we talk about roofing here and there. But with all these natural disasters going on, we got these hurricanes. I know you're an expert in this area when it comes to roofing and storm damage, so I needed to get somebody on the show and see what is going on and what's happening with this. That's one thing I love about doing this show is that I just learn so much, learn new things that I haven't dealt with before. And that's particularly when it comes to storm damage. I live out here in California, and you know, we build roofs for shade pretty much, and really don't have to worry about storms out here.
Right.
But we do have earthquakes, and you know, unfortunately, we just lost 8,500 structures here in this wildfire out here. So that really sucks. But when it comes to wind and hail damage, I have no idea how that works. And when we're talking about I hear about storm chasers and, you know, we just don't have that. But before we get into that, can you give us a little background about yourself and what you're about?
Yeah, Dave, my experience is kind of blended, which I think has given me a very clear perspective to help and to understand really roofers both locally as well as some of the guys who build national organizations that really chase storms, so to speak. And so, you know, I spent 23 years on the insurance side of the business. So I understand a lot of policy and claim and payment processes. Then I spent 7 years actually out as a roofing contractor in Texas, knocking doors and getting on roofs and writing estimates and doing everything that most all of your listenership does on a daily basis. And then the last 2.5 years, I've been with a managed repair program. So I feel like that kind of understanding both the carrier side of things, the contracting side of things, as well as the homeowner side of things, gives me kind of a unique perspective on really re-roof and, you know, storm-related type of activity.
Well, before we get into this managed repair programs and these trends that are happening and what's changing in the industry, can you give us guys here in California just kind of the basic rundown of storm repair 101? Because I got to tell you, I really don't know much about this at all. So can you just give us kind of a little basic before we jump into the rest of the story here, please?
Sure. No problem. So generally speaking, a homeowner will feel like or sense or have experienced some type of hail or wind damage, and they'll call their insurance company. And the conventional path that's taken is that the insurance company will send out an adjuster, assess the damage, make line item recommendations for repair or replacement, then basically pay the homeowner part of their money to start the repair process or replacement process. The homeowner then will find a contractor that they're comfortable with, and the, you know, the choice of the contractor will begin, you know, when they choose a contractor, the work will begin. Generally speaking, the contractor manages the whole process of the roof replacement or repair. When they're complete, they send documentation into the carrier. There's usually some additional money released to kind of make the claim whole, so to speak, for the homeowner and financially for the contractor. You know, most of that business is different type of marketing techniques. So, you know, whether they're doing ads locally and through Facebook, or, you know, they get out and have canvassing teams that are knocking doors or whatever, most of that business is generated right now through, you know, some type of marketing campaign locally or even nationally in some cases, just to get homeowners involved in this process of, you know, working the contractor locally, working with their insurance company to get that homeowner back home after a storm.
You hear so much about all these scams that are going on, you know, and you either got guys coming in from out of town, not doing the work right, grabbing the money and splitting. I hear about this deductible business all the time as some kind of problem there. I don't know anything about it. What's going on there, and why and how are these guys giving our industry such a bad name?
I could probably get I could easily get too deep into this subject, so I'm going to try to keep it at a digestible level, so to speak. But, you know, especially in states like Texas, where there's limited regulation, if any regulation, on contractors, roofing contractors in particular, there's a lot of scamming going on. And it's all usually around the deductible. And so the fact of the matter is, there has been so much scam and fraud that's gone on in the market that clear delineation of right and wrong has been lost in many markets. And so, honestly, the expectation of a lot of homeowners right now who have made a commitment to a carrier to pay a deductible has been blurred, right? I mean, to where they think that they're owed a contractor to come in and cover their deductible. And I think it's important for us all to realize that a homeowner, when they sign up for a coverage with a particular carrier, makes a commitment to share in some of the cost of the repair or replacement. That's the deductible. Right. And so, you know, the way that the deductible scam works generally is that the contractor will bill for work that they never do, right? And so they'll take the money that was paid, so to speak, from a carrier for gutters or for drip edge or for flue caps or whatever it may be. And they'll take that money and use it to offset the out-of-pocket expense for the homeowner. And honestly, they can do some of that legally, but when they bill for the work as if it was done and it wasn't, that's fraud. Yep. And that's the way these guys get by with it. And so, or that's the way they manipulate the system, so to speak, is rather than going to a homeowner and saying, hey, this is your obligation, this is my obligation, this is the insurance company's obligation, let's figure out how this best works legally. Most of the guys, not most, a lot of the guys spend time trying to be creative so that they can manipulate the system. What they don't realize and what homeowners don't realize is the fraud at this point is upon, if there's any kind of prosecution, it's generally going to fall at the feet of the homeowner because they have a relationship with in a policy that's a contract between them and the carrier. And even when a contractor sends an invoice in, final invoice in, or makes some type of statement to the carrier on behalf of the homeowner, it creates a vulnerable situation for the homeowner that even potentially has legal peril to it. So, you know, it is a big deal. You just, you know, my feelings would be this. I'm not necessarily telling you that I think that anybody who comes in to Des Moines, Iowa from Texas and tries to roof in Des Moines, Iowa is somebody you need to worry about, because that's just not the case. There are a lot of good companies out there whose business model is to travel to storms and they actually take care of people. But the reality of it is homeowners need to do their due diligence and to make for sure that the people they're doing business with have a reputation to justify giving them money to do their roof.
Right. Well, it's just like anything. I mean, you got to check with the contractor and pretty carefully. Right. One thing you said was interesting to me is that I think you used the number that 35% of all shingles is storm related that are sold. Is that right? That's a big number.
Yeah. Last year, 51% of the roofs that were sold, re-roofs that were sold, were retail jobs. 14% were new construction, and 35% were insurance paid. So that the insurance restoration business, so to speak, is a huge part of re-roofing as a whole.
Well, yeah, I had no idea.
Yeah,
being out here, you know, it's crazy.
And what's really interesting is that percent, 35% of the re-roofs that are insurance, that are paid for by insurance, are paid by the top 10 carriers, right? So 75% of all of the re-roofing done last year regarding insurance work was paid by the top 10 carriers. They have such a huge share of the policyholder count, so to speak. It even magnifies that number it creates more pause even than you thought. That's a big number.
Yeah. Well, and I think after this year, it's just going to kill the insurance companies. And that kind of gets into really what our topic was today that I wanted to talk to you about, which is the managed repair programs.
Right.
And I just have to think that the insurance companies are looking at any way that they can save some money, just like whether it's healthcare or whether it's auto insurance, there's going to be cutting back on any way that they can. We were talking about this program, and this is one way that they're going to do it, and I think it's coming, and that's what we talked about. Let's talk about this managed repair program and kind of getting that out for those that may not understand what's going on and make sure that you're ready. It sounds like something that this genie's out of the bottle and it's not going back in.
Yeah, you're right. And, the real force driving managed repair programs, in my estimation, can be simply stated by looking at some data from the top insurance companies from last year. And if you looked at what they call combined loss ratios, the top 10 insurance companies, only three of them last year collected more money than they paid out. And so as a result, from a claim standpoint and an expense standpoint. So obviously at some point, insurance companies have to start looking at how can that trend stop. And when you talk about trends and as opposed to shifts, there's really a difference. And what I mean by that is trends are something that, you know, we can look at and say, kind of like leisure suits, Dave. Me and you remember those.
I still wear one.
Yeah, I do. I just don't tell nobody. Right. So, you know, a trend, I mean, it's like that. If a trend is something that comes and it goes, you don't have to worry much about it because if you don't like it, it's gone tomorrow. The shift that's occurring, this is not a trend, and I'm going to talk to you about that today. It's really a shift in our industry. And as you know, shifts are forever, right? And so with shifts taking place, I think contractors need to be very mindful and understand what's coming. I'm not saying that they need to determine right or wrong right now. I just think they need to be informed. And so when insurance companies start the process of implementing a managed repair environment, there's a reason for it. And generally, unlike what most people think, if outside of California, Dave, most people in our industry, especially with wind and hail, have this notion that managed repair programs is like this beast, new beast from the East, right? I mean, it's like just come out of nowhere, when the reality of it is insurance companies have been involved in managing care and repair for years. If you look at the 80s, and I'll do this quickly, but if you look at the 80s, healthcare, Medicare was getting drained financially. Hospitals were basically putting a guy with a head cold in for 2 weeks, and the reason in keeping him in the hospital for 2 weeks with a head cold, and the reason they did is because they could. And Medicare got to a point where they're like, we can't keep doing this. So what they did is they tied a diagnosis to a reimbursement, and they said, if you had a head cold, we're going to pay X amount of dollars for X amount of days, and after that, you're on your own. Well, that kind of corrected people's behavior, right? And so then all of a sudden, you know, we've seen the advent in healthcare of networks, right? HMO, PPOs, all those things. And the cool thing about – the interesting thing, not cool, but the interesting thing to me was insurance companies realized they had something valuable that providers wanted, and that was a policyholder base. Think about this just a second. So we as healthcare providers would market, spend tons of money on trying to get new customers. And so what the insurance company did said, hey, here's what we're going to do. We're going to make you an agreement. Reggie, if you want to provide care when they need it to our network, we ask for one thing, and we'll give these people access to you. You ain't going to spend money for it. All we ask you to do is to agree upon pricing up front. Think about that. So rather than me being able to charge $700 for a doctor's visit, I had to manage that cost in lieu of getting more volume, right? And they had the policyholder base that I wanted to get to offer my services to. Then finally, Dave, it went to auto. It worked so well in healthcare, it went to auto. You know, looking, and I know California, different than everybody else. But y'all have pop-up repair shops all over the country. Sure. You have a wreck and you know, they'll give you a list of people that you can go see. And the thing that those people you go see have agreed to with the carrier is we'll give you access today, but you got to agree to pricing. Can't charge me $5,000 to fix the fenders, $500. So the last thing is the insurance company said, well, if it's worked in auto and health, surely it'll work in property. So, you know, they've used this process in interior work on property. So you see a lot of, you know, fire and water mitigation companies that basically are managed repair companies that do interior. When you leave California and get to our part of the country, managed repair seems to be such a crazed idea and has created so much fear, so to speak, because they think that it's like, what are you doing to me in roofing? It's just the next evolution. So everything that we've seen historically is now just coming to the backyard of roofers, and it's causing a tremendous amount of concern. My job is just to say, hey, guys, calm down. Here's what this program is. Here's how to prepare for it. Here's where it's come from. Here's where it's going. And just make good decisions.
So you're saying that this is the direction it's going to go. This is just not a temporary thing. This is this is going to be a change just as it is in healthcare. This right. is the way it's going to be done somewhere down the road, and it's starting now.
So right now, less than 1% of the jobs, meaning claims that come through to and through an insurance company, are run through managed repair programs. And Dave, let me stop and say this. There's a lot of pieces to managed repair, but if you think about it, this is probably a good way to describe it. There are three moving entities that are vying for a soft landing, and that's carriers, insurance companies, contractors, and managed repair administrators or companies like MadSky, so to speak. And so what they're trying to do is land gracefully together to create one end result that matters. This is really what it boils down to. And that's a 5-star customer experience for their policyholders. Because honestly, they can save money through a managed repair. They can do a lot of different things that are advantageous for them as a carrier. But if they mess up and they cause a problem for their policyholders at the point of claim, it's disaster, right? So getting contractors and carriers, you know, industry, and that industry says that those two people hadn't got along real well for years, right? Insurance companies and contractors. And so what managed repair companies do, programs do, is they come in and mitigate, you know, and they try to create cooperation so that ultimately the customer experience is what it needs to be. And so, yes, it's less than 1% of the jobs right now come through a managed repair program. But Dave, by 2020, it's going to be over 10%. This is going to only grow in magnitude over the next couple of years. So, yes, it's coming and it's here and it's staying and it's not going away.
You know, insurance companies are going to keep cutting costs any way they can. And just like, as you say, in the healthcare, there's going to be some changes.
Yeah.
As a contractor, what's in it for me? Why would I care? And why would this be something that I'd want to get involved with?
Yeah. So I think personally that it has to extend beyond just care and realize that it's where the future is headed, right? And so for a contractor from a benefit standpoint, here's the big deal. Like with Mad Sky Managed Repair, who is just a, you know, when I say just, primarily roofs and exterior is the focus of our attention with our carrier relationship. Here's what you got to realize. Guys all across the country pay a lot of money for what I consider half-baked leads. Would you agree with that? I mean, in a lot of cases, these guys are trying to find business, contractors are, and they're paying to get it. Well, with a managed repair company, they have a direct access point to the carrier who has a leveraged relationship with the policyholder, right? Go back to my example earlier, and that is they own what we want as contractors, and that's the relationship with the homeowner, right? And so what they're saying is that contractors, here's a big benefit. We're going to give you extremely high volume closing opportunities with the leads that we provide through this system, right? So when you get a lead from Mad Sky Managed Repair Program, there's a high propensity, unless you step on yourself or carry a bad reputation, that you're not going to win the business simply because you're able to leverage as a contractor the relationship the carrier has with the homeowner. Hot, hot leads, high, high closing percentage. The biggest thing, whether it's Mad Sky or another managed repair company, and there are lots of them across the country, and really specialty guys. I mean, if you're a water contractor or a fire contractor, you know, there are lots of different opportunities. The biggest thing I would encourage you to understand as a contractor is that you can leverage the opportunity that the carrier has with the homeowner. Big deal. And the other thing is, what we've heard from our contractor network over the last 2.5 years is that it's got them into neighborhoods to work that has propelled or four-timed their business, so to speak, right? So they go in and run an assignment for us, and then they turn around and, you know, so to speak, work the neighborhood and pick up a lot of business that belongs to them exclusively. Has nothing to do with Mad Sky or our relationship with them. They can go out and do their own thing. So, you know, that's been a huge benefit. The other thing with Mad Sky in particular managed repair companies provide in different varieties is, for example, with us, we pay for everything but the labor, right? So in a new storm in particular, where some of these guys have limited credit or cash capabilities, you know, we're paying for material, we're paying for all the technology. We ask them to do the inspection, which we pay them for, as well as, you know, perform the labor. And so, I mean, there's different varieties. I'm using ours because obviously I'm familiar with it, but there's different varieties. And what I encourage contractors to look at is if you're considering managed repair, just dig into the details. How does it best fit you and what you do every day? Because it should be an addition to your business, not a replacement of. Mm-hmm. And so, you know, every managed repair program on the planet does things differently. It just needs to be looked at like, okay, what if I call it the exchange rate, Dave. That is, what am I getting for what I am giving? And if it makes sense, pursue it. If it doesn't, walk away from it. I guess what I would say in conclusion is this. Managed repair may not be for everybody. But I'm here to say today that managed repair is something everyone has to consider going forward if they're going to remain in insurance insurance work in general, because all of these major carriers who own basically the majority of the policyholder count across the country, especially in wind and hail areas, they're moving quickly in this direction. And rather than just emotionally react to noise that people are hearing outside of California, find and dig a little bit, ask questions. I mean, these guys can contact me, and, you know, I'm happy to provide them information free of charge. And, you know, if we can help them become a part of our preferred network, fantastic. If not, I'm available to travel, you know, at no cost to these guys to go out and really explain and show and provide information for them, because we want them to be aware that what's coming, and be prepared for it.
Reggie, that's some great information. I really appreciate it. But before we get into your contact information,
sure.
I just don't understand how this work is going to get done, frankly. Okay, we're out here in California. Yeah. We were booming before any of this stuff happened. We could not get labor. We're having trouble getting materials. Now we've got thousands of structures that are going to need to be rebuilt.
Yeah.
We've got this, you know, we've got Florida, we've got Puerto Rico, we've got Houston. It is just going to be an incredible mess. And now we're talking about, you know, limiting immigration, you know, so on and so forth. We got a huge problem. We're not going to be able to do this. I know in California, we can't get the work done now that we already had before this. And it's just going to be crazy, not to mention material prices going to be skyrocketing. Cost of labor has got to be going up. So I don't know. There's no easy answer.
I agree with you. Labor shortages are something that we all have to be constantly aware of. The thing that I think is really important to understand is that labor will become more picky and more choosy about the type of jobs that they are going to participate in. And, you know, pay is going to be a big deal, but also how quick people are paid. And I think one of the advantages in looking at managed repair as a whole is that the quick pace of the process is going to, I think, create more opportunities in that for a labor pool in that side of the business. And that's just my opinion, but that's what we've seen. Again, I'm 8 years in Texas, so I kind of, that's the highest state in the country regarding health claims every year. And if there's going to be a labor shortage, it's always going to be in Texas. And we've been able to manage through that. And that's the trend that we've seen, is that labor is really reactive to, you know, fair pay and quick pay. And so managed repair programs address that issue pretty effectively.
Well, we've got some interesting times ahead, I think.
Yeah, I agree.
So let's get into how we can get more information from you, Reggie, because I think this is something that our contractors really need to take a hard look at.
Yeah. But Dave, the easiest way is they can, you know, they go to our website if they're interested in the managed repair program through MadSky. This basically a roof an exterior kind of opportunity from a claim standpoint. You go to mrpprogram.com, mrpprogram.com. I speak to association groups all across the country through manufacturers and suppliers and, you know, just general interest from people across the country. And, you know, if someone is interested in your audience for me doing that, they can reach me at rbrock@mrpprogram.com. And that's, again, rbrock@mrpprogram.com. And I'll be happy to follow up with them. So that's probably the easiest and best way to get a hold of us.
That's great. And also, you can hook up with both of us on LinkedIn. And that's something that I really recommend that all contractors should be involved with. That's a great way to reach out. That's, as I said, that's how I know Reggie and so many other contractors to keep in touch. So check us out, reach out, and we'll both connect with you. So,
yeah.
But Reggie, thanks so much for coming on. I learned a lot as always, and we will be in touch soon.
Dave, thank you so much for the time and the attention to this matter. And if there's any way I can help you or any of your audience, feel free, please, to contact me.
Thanks so much, and you take care.
Have a great day.
You too. That's it for today's show. If you want to get a copy of my one-page business plan, where you can create a professional business plan in just a few hours, go to theroofershow.com, where you can download it for free.
Simply answer the questions, fill in the PDF, and print. Short and sweet. And as always, thanks for listening. I really appreciate it, and we'll see you next week on The Roofer Show.